Hi there, folks. This is the Mel Wright Real Estate Agent Show. It's episode 52. I've got Jason Bates as my co-host. How are you, Jason?
I'm doing great, Jonathan. How are you doing?
Oh, not bad. It's not been a bad one. They actually got some work done. Jason, we've got an interesting subject we agreed on in this episode. Why are so many real estate agents still afraid of technology? Like to start off, we've got any insights why you think there's a little bit of fear there?
Yeah, you know, I talk to agents all the time and talk to them about what they're doing social media-wise to help build their brand, put their name out there, let the world know who they are and what they do and who they represent. And, you know, a lot of times agents for me, the ones I come across, I don't know if afraid's the right word, but they're a little maybe apprehensive because you're always a little gun-shy about things you don't know about. And social media seems to change, even Facebook, right? Facebook, as soon as you get a grasp on Facebook, then they roll out Facebook Live, or they roll out advertising, or boost your post, or these other, you know, tools, if you will, within Facebook. And so agents, at least from my experience, seem to kind of not embrace change rather than they just kind of get used to what they know and then try to work with what they know rather than trying to think outside the box of how they can utilize additional tools to improve their exposure. So I think it's apprehension, I guess, maybe a little bit there. You know, we hear all the excuses all the time, at least I do. Hey, I've got a listing appointment, or I've got this, or I've got to do that, or I got, and social media is a lot of work. That's the other thing I think that agents come to realize once they get involved with social media, that it takes a lot of time, takes an effort.
Yeah, I think that's so true, actually. I think what we find a little bit, things that we don't understand, we get apprehensive about it. It comes from the system, you know, when we're in education, things that we're not that great on, we tend to ditch because we fear being ridiculed by others, or seen as not being truly competent adults. And a lot of successful people, funny enough, haven't got a fear of failure. They fail quickly and then they move on and they learn from it. And of course, if you tell yourself that you're going to be no good at something, that's a very difficult hurdle to overcome. And I think another factor is that there is so much technology being offered to real estate agents and to the industry in general. There's so many apps, different platforms, social media, that it's so easy to feel totally overwhelmed. So a way of dealing with that is just push it all to one side. What do you think, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they don't understand it. Therefore, they are afraid to get, ridiculed or whatever about it. I don't know if that's the right thing, but anytime, even like the live streaming, we're doing live streaming right now as part of the podcast. Getting an agent to even do film is like pulling teeth. Right. There's very few agents out there that will even film themselves in front of a house or doing an open house or, you know, whatever the case, even a testimonial with one of their clients. Very difficult for agents to put themselves on film. And I'm not quite sure why. For me, when I talk to agents, you know, I ask them, who's your audience? And they, well, I'm looking for the luxury, or I'm looking for the first time home buyer. I'm looking for listings, or I'm looking for, it's like, wait a minute. Everybody that walks through a quote unquote Starbucks, that should be your potential client. And so the more people you can get in front of, the better your chances of increasing your business. And video, social media are those tools. And we have somebody in the chat here said, hey, look, it's free. What agent out there doesn't like free? So it's just a question then of understanding and then kind of honing those skills for whatever it is that you're looking to try to do. And I think when you say about social media, it's understanding social media. So for example, Twitter is not a quote unquote social media. I know it's kind of lumped into social media, but I look at Twitter as a newsfeed. And newsfeed and the approach to a newsfeed is much different than a social media outlet, where Facebook is the true social media where people interact and engage and like and comment on each other. And you can do that in Twitter, certainly. But the initial comment in Twitter, for example, is a newsfeed. Hey, you know, just got a listing. It's hot on the market. Won't last long. Come see my open house. That might be a Twitter, a tweet for something like that. Where Facebook, the approach might be slightly different, or would be slightly different to get the same message across.
Yeah, I think that's so right. Well, let's start with social media. You know, you're a big user of it. You try various platforms. Have you got any insights based on your experience about obviously you're a professional mortgage broker, but it's a very similar industry with close ties. So have you got any insights about things that you did wrong with social media and how your road has kind of matured, and some victories or quality leads that you might have obtained from social media? Got anything you could tell us?
Yeah, for sure. First mistake, I didn't get into it soon enough. Because all the people that got into it sooner than I did have a bigger following, a bigger audience that they can draw upon. My audience is there. It's pretty good. It's better than most, for sure. But it could have been better. And so the success stories, I will tell you that the content that I try to provide, except for Twitter, of course, but the other content such as on YouTube, the podcast that I do, I try to provide evergreen material, meaning that the material is good today and it's good tomorrow. I'm not a flash in the pan type social media thing, although Twitter is kind of that. It lends itself to be that because of the newsfeed aspect of it. Same somewhat with Facebook as that. But on some of the other social media, like the videos and things I do, I try to make them evergreen. And as a result of them being evergreen in some of the videos, I've had actually people call me from videos I did 2 and 3 years ago. So that would be, you know, a little piece of advice. If I were a realtor, I'd try to make some evergreen material, not make it just about the house. And I think that's a big mistake. You know, one of the things that I almost made the mistake in was investing in a drone. Drone and that aspect of the social media. Hey, I want to be the first on the market to have this drone video. Isn't that cool? You know, I look at that now as kind of a negative, because you look at some of those videos and how they were done. I actually see how close the neighbor would be to that house. And if I'm a consumer, I'm not really showing the real value of the home. I might be showcasing some of the negative aspects of that particular home by doing a drone. But as the realtor, I think they want to be seen as the first person to have this technology thrown out there using drone video and not really looking at the total aspect of the drone video. So be cautious, I guess, is before you jump into any social media, before you really dive into it for what you... Because what we think we may like, because we're in the industry all the time, may not be what the consumer or the public may want. We get a little distorted when you're in it. For example, when I talk to agents, they say, "Well, I don't know what I would talk about if I did a podcast or if I did a video. What do I talk about?" It's like, well, you gotta dumbify it a little bit. You gotta bring it down a little bit, right? Don't overthink it. Think of it as a first time home buyer or a consumer. What's happening? What's hot in the market? What trends are happening in the market? Is stainless steel trendy in the market? You know, barn doors, for gosh sakes, barn doors are a hot trend in housing right now for, barn door in the house instead of a regular door. It's kind of a trendy thing out here. I'm seeing them everywhere. I'm seeing them in magazines. I'm seeing them everywhere. Well, that's a topic to be talking about. Does that add value to the home? Does it not add value? Those sort of things. The other thing too that I tell agents to that for endless material is talk to your local school principal, local businesses. And this is where I think a lot of realtors miss the point, is that you're selling a lifestyle. The house comes and goes. When you're selling in a particular area, Scottsdale, Scottsdale Ranch, McCormick Ranch, Paradise Valley, Chandler, you're selling a lifestyle. Play on those lifestyles for your social media. And if you do that, you're going to have success outside of the real estate. You're going to build an audience just for the lifestyle itself.
Yeah, I think that's so right, Jason. You know, but I think that especially real estate and the mortgage brokers is a very conservative industry in some ways, and a lot of agents just want. But there's a boundary, isn't it? There seem to be some agents that maybe push it to the other extreme, and. Well, a lot of other agents are probably too conservative. So there's a middle ground. Like I say to a lot of people, if you don't really want if you really didn't want your mother to see this, it's probably not appropriate to go out. But it doesn't mean that you should just be totally tedious either, does it?
Yeah, no, there is an extreme on either side. I've seen some agents here locally that really push the sexy part about real estate a little too far, yeah. Right? And are not very professional in what they're doing. And yes, they get a lot of attention on that. However, I feel it's short-lived. It's not very professional. It's not a good statement. And I'm sure each brokerage is going to have some certain rules for their agents when following and doing social media. So certainly consult with your broker on how social media should be handled. But, you know, I once talked to an agent. I was talking to him about live streaming, right? I think live streaming, I've been doing it now for about a year and a half or so, a little bit longer than that, actually. And now Facebook came out, in January or whatever it was, for Facebook live streaming, not seeing a whole lot of agents on live streaming or utilizing that platform. And I spoke to one agent and said, hey, you know, what would you do with live streaming? How would you utilize that in your business? And he said, Jason, I don't really think live streaming is that big of a deal. I look at live streaming as the same as what the internet was back in 1990 or 97 or whenever it came out, 96 when it came out to everybody, that people were afraid to be on the internet. If we take ourselves back and take a step back, we said, hey, the internet, I don't want to be on there. There's skeletons out there. Somebody could, you know, steal my identity, or there's all kinds of these little things out there. Now, for the internet anyway, people don't seem to be able to live without it. And what, 90% of people go to the internet to check you out to see if you're the real deal. And so, in fact, I just saw a video here locally from a title company who did like a little study on millennials. And millennials said the first thing that they do, first of all, they take a referral. First and foremost, they'll take a referral over anything else when looking for a real estate agent. But then after they talk to the realtor, the first thing they do is they go to social media and see how relevant they are for their market. And if we're going to look at, you know, millennials, and all the realtors I talk to right now want to know how to get in touch with millennials. When are millennials coming out? When are they buying? What are they doing? And there's all kinds of different studies on that. On how they're treating real estate and how their attitude toward real estate. But when a millennial says, hey, look, I'm going to go to the social media platforms, whether it be Snapchat. Now, she mentioned Twitter, actually, as one of them, and Facebook were the two that she mentioned. When you're not on those platforms and they can't find you, all of a sudden you become irrelevant, and irregardless of the referral, you've got a notch in your arm, you know, a kink in your armor, if you will, for the earning that person's business. So this is where I just don't understand why realtors are so apprehensive about using social media. Now, the other thing, Twitter, Jonathan, I mean, I use Twitter quite a bit. I think you use Twitter quite a bit. Most realtors have Twitter, but then don't know how to use it. In fact, 50% of them that I talk to don't even remember their password to get into Twitter. So they're not using, they just have it just to have it. And it's like, well, that doesn't work either when it comes to social media.
Yeah, it's so true. So we're going to go for our break, folks, and we'll be back in a minute and we'll be discussing this. And we'll also be looking at some of the technologies themselves.
Buying or selling a home in the greater Reno, Tahoe area? I know the best CRS real estate broker, and that's Karen Conrad. And you can find her at KarenConrad.com or call her directly at 775-527-7021.
We're coming back from our break, folks. I totally agree with you about Twitter. Most agents don't remember their password. They don't even really concentrate that much on their Facebook page linked to the things that Facebook did like 18 months, 2 years ago. And they just concentrate a bit on their profile, which I think is a mistake. I'm not anti you posting stuff on your profile, but I am, because my views about the power of Facebook advertisement and also their technologies that are coming up around live video. I want to get on to a subject that's linked to this, Jason, that we had when we had our pre-show discussion, which is around technology, customer relation systems or managers. And you were saying about your brokerage, they give you one, they're giving you one, and I think it was Salesforce, isn't it?
Yes, Salesforce.
And I think this is a general problem. The problem is that you've got a duplicate entry. If you haven't got an assistant or a virtual assistant, you've got to put all the data in, and you really got to really, really, really commit yourself to that platform. And it's, I think you said it, you found it a little bit of a struggle. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's a big struggle for me. First of all, I don't want to pay somebody a bunch of money just to do data entry. It just isn't the best use of my money. So for me to do it, I have to do it for our LOS system, which is a loan origination system. We have to input for the application, and then we have to take that data and then re-input it into another system for a CRM customer. For the Salesforce system. Those two systems don't talk amongst one another or communicate amongst one another. So that that's a little cumbersome. And I think for some agents, I think the same thing. I don't know, not that they have an origination system or anything like that, but I think the data entry portion for realtors, I think is a little, I don't say beneath them, but I just don't know why. If that's all I had to do was use Salesforce, then that would be a lot easier for me. But because I have two different systems I have to use, a little difficult.
Yeah, and I think, folks, this is a very, I'm looking for the right word here, a very typical situation. And it's a problem with all customer relation systems. I think if you are going to build up a database, it's important to utilize one of these systems. But getting the data into those systems is the problem, because A, who wants to do that? And secondly, where do you find the time? Now, there are some solutions, folks. There's one here. I'm going to put the link in to chat. And it's Full Contact, and we're going to integrate their API system with Mailrite. But I've been using their system myself, and it comes with two versions, folks. It comes with a fully functioning free version and then a paid version, which is about $9 a month. And with the free version, there are, I won't say restrictions, but a limitation. There's only one, you can only link it to one email account. And the synchronization only happens once a day. But what does this really do? It's multi-featured. Basically, it works the best with Gmail. And if you use the Gmail client on your mobile phone, Android or iPhone, or you use the Gmail interface in your browser on your desktop. If you use Chrome, and you should, you could download a Chrome extension from Full Contact, and basically it synchronizes with that Gmail account, sucks all the email contact information, first name, second name, sucks all that out of Gmail and puts it into Full Contact interface in one list. And if you go for the paid version, you can have multiple email accounts and it will suck them all out and put them into one list into Full Contact. With the Chrome extension, when you hover over a name, it's in the right. You click, when you click on an email address, you then on your right, you can click Full Contact and it will suck all the information on the internet about that person. It will show you their Twitter account, their Facebook account, their LinkedIn, their account, and you can see the most recent Twitters or the most recent Facebook posts, or if they post anything on LinkedIn, and it gives you a kind of summary of everything they've done on the internet. And you can also gives you a photographs. I'm a very visual person and I can remember a face much better than a name in some ways. What then it can do, it's got a couple of other really fantastic features. It has a number of API, that's a little bit of jargon here, folks, that will integrate with Salesforce and a number of these other really popular contact custom management systems. So you can select what list in that system will link to Full Contact, and it will just send those people to like salesforce.com, so you don't have to do the data entry, Jason. That sounds attractive, doesn't it?
That sounds very attractive.
Now, another feature it comes with is it's got a really good card reading system that works on Android and on iPhone. You do need the latest iPhone operating system. They also recently brought out a desktop application for PC and Mac, so you don't have to use the browser. The Mac, we've been waiting a long time for the native Mac desktop application, and it only works with the latest application. But when we get back to the card reader, with the free program, it only will read 10 cards per month. But you can buy additional packs without having to sign up for the monthly plan. So if you just satisfied with one email account and daily synchronization, you can get away with just the free account and buying their card reading packs that come in 50 to 100. And it really does work, folks. It scans the card. They've got an automated system, but if the card isn't read up to their standards, they have staff that checks the card data and inputs it manually for you. And that all goes into your Salesforce.com. So,
card of the consumer. You take a picture of it, it automatically uploads that information into that contact or creates a contact.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
And now, unlike other systems, it's almost 100% effective. If you ever use any of these card reading applications or some of these other services, that statement would ring true for you, because some of the card reading scanners are quite expensive and some of the other systems aren't really that accurate. So you normally got to literally manually put a lot of the data in. This actually works quite effectively. So I would suggest you really, if you really look at this, folks, because it also comes with a very open API system, because Full Contact want as many people to use their system as possible. And like I say, we're integrating it into MailRite in the next couple of months, because we have found, even though we're not a we are building into MailRite a very simple customer management system, but it's not going to be anything like Salesforce, because we think most agents want something really simple. But we've found, even with our email marketing side, about them importing a list, is that agents have got lists all over the place, in a phone, in LinkedIn, in their Gmail, and it's just getting it all in one place and keeping it up to date. They find it a nightmare, and we feel something like Full Contact will solve that problem for them.
Yeah, no, that sounds pretty interesting. I think anything to make a realtor's life easier is a good thing.
And the other great thing, I know I'm kind of singing their praises here, but the other thing I would like to point out, Jason, is they have got a number of really great webinars, but also they have a concierge system where they will, for free, you can set up an appointment with them using GoToMeeting or Google Hangout. And one of their success teams will spend literally an hour with you, one-to-one for free, Jason, on the free program or the paid program, and they will walk through the whole thing with you one-to-one.
So service is really good. That's super important.
So there's not many companies, IT service businesses, that will sit down with you now if you're using their free program one-to-one and answer any questions and go through the whole system with you one-to-one.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. That's good. That's really good, actually. Because it's difficult to get something. You pay for these things. I know with Salesforce, it's super complicated. And I don't have everything. I haven't even scratched the surface with Salesforce.
I would think it's totally over the top, even, you know, you're busy, even for you, really. It's really built for professional sales teams of 5+ that really need it. I just don't think for a single effective mortgage broker, it's a really effective system, really. But look at this. But it will work. If you're not in, there's a number of, just to finish off, there's a number of very inexpensive or free or kind of semi-free content management systems. One of the best that does work with Full Contact is Zoho. It's Z-O-H-O. They have a number of programs.
Yeah, go on. Put the link in there, if you would.
Yes. I will get it.
This is a contact.
It's a customer management system.
Okay.
And another one that works with this, but is quite expensive, but it's purposely aimed at the real estate industry, is Follow Up Boss. I think it's a superb system that also works with Full Contact and does a lot of things, but it starts, if you're going to pay monthly, it's around $70 a month. But it's pretty, when you set it up, a lot of things are done automatic for you. I'm going to try and get the Zoho here, because of the free, I think it's one of the better ones. I've got the link here. They offer a fully free functioning program, but also if that's too limited, the next one up is about $12. Here we are, put the link in. It's $12, $9 to $12 a month, and you can get a further discount if you pay yearly. And they've improved the interface enormously, and I think it's not specifically aimed at the real estate industry, But it has a number of functionality that make it totally suitable for the individual agent that's looking for a system that isn't too enormous, that also will work with full contact. And I think the combination of full contact with a CMS that will work with it is a winning combination, actually, Jason.
Here's the one thing I always look for, Jonathan. I know we've spoken about this several times off on phone or, you know, on other blabs and things like that, is customizable or customizability, if that's a word. Being able to customize some of the things that you send out. I will tell you on these CRMs, I have literally, I don't know, at least five realtors on a weekly basis send me their flyer on my personal email. How they got my email, I don't know. I don't care. I just like looking at it to see what's out there as far as competition goes. And for realtors out there, they probably get the same thing from their competitors. And this is one of the things that we kind of touched base on at the beginning here. This sort of stuff takes work. You can't set it and forget it. I get the same email with different branding from five different agents, literally within 5 minutes of each other. They're almost like on the same distribution, you know, button kind of thing, which tells me it's done from a company that's doing it and handling it for them. And they're paying a service fee for it, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that, but make it customizable, make it unique to you. People do business with people they like, and they have to know you to get to like you. And if you're doing the same format on how to baste a turkey or how to make sidewalk chalk or how to stay cool in the summer or how to clean your pool or, you know, all these sort of things, it doesn't make you unique. I always tell people, what is your unique selling proposition? Why would somebody want to do business with you over somebody else? And when you're selling real estate, you've got to be unique. And having a CRM that isn't customizable, like, for example, I tell a lot of the agents that I work with, look, do a video. Do a video, a weekly video, a monthly video. I don't care what it is. Just do a video. Send it out. Do a video for thanking them. Do a video for whatever. It's endless, the possibilities. But this, I get this other one, coffee with, you know, so-and-so. It's like a coffee, you know, sit down and have coffee and like read the paper kind of thing is what it's insinuating. I don't know about you, Jonathan, but I find that labor intensive. Now, 10 years ago, I was a subscriber to the Arizona Republic here in Phoenix, and I got the daily paper. Right. But then it got to be just too labor intensive. Yeah. Like, why read it when I can listen to it and do other things at the same time? Listen to it while going to work or other, you know, it just made my life easier. Reading something, people read the first sentence on something and then and bolt off. It's the same thing with a website, right? I mean, if the website doesn't have video on it, people are gone.
Well, I agree with a lot with you. So I think it's a very complicated area, and there's definitely really bad ways to do things and there's right ways to do things. And I think next week, folks, we're going to talk about, hopefully Jason will agree with this, I think we should talk about effective email marketing, because if it's still done in the right way, it's still been shown to be one of the most effective ways of keeping in touch with your audience. And I think we also look at video services, what's out there in apps and in online services around video, and the good points, the bad points. There's over half a dozen different services I can talk about. I'll send the links to Jason beforehand so he can have a bit of a look at them, and we have his perspective on them, and we can have a good chat about that. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds great.
I think we're going to wrap up today's show, folks. If you want to see some of the, I've got over 50 episodes on the Mel Wright website. That's mel-wright.com. There's over 50 video podcasts with a number of experts from the real estate industry on the website. We've got a iTunes podcast, which you can subscribe to, which this show is going to go on. And if you need any advice, either approach me. You can email me at jonathan@mel-wright.com. I answer any inquiry personally. So, Jason, I've done my...
You don't have an automatic responder on your email?
No, not my personal email, no. I think that's a bit horrible, really. But, Jason, I've plugged me, so it's time. Anything you want to plug, and how can people get hold of you, Jason?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to do that. You can check out my website, www.valleyofthesunrealestateshow.com. From there, connect with me on any social media. That's .com, by the way. Connect with me on any social media platform. Listen to my podcast called Valley of the Sun Real Estate Show. You can check that out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Music, anywhere you can find a podcast, you can check that out. And reach out to me if you're looking to purchase or refinance a home in the state of Arizona. I certainly would love the opportunity to earn your business.
That's great. Thanks, Justin. So, folks, we're ending the podcast. We do this normally every Monday around 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Blab IM. So if you're around and you want to jump in, we normally stay on for a few minutes after to answer any questions and chat with anybody. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Say bye-bye, Jason. Bye.
Until next time.
See you later.